Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Laurenelle of the High Desert here. Thank you so much for tuning in this week. It is currently May 10th, 2015, 10 p.m. I'm going to kick off the show as usual with a piece of history of the Morongo Basin. This is coming from a book published by the Morongo Basin Historical Society as well as the 29 Palms Historical Society. It is a 100-year project of the Morongo Basin, 1910 to 2010. This piece of history is coming from the year 1925, and the article is titled California Proposes Road Through the Basin. And here's what the article says. In 1925, Sacramento transportation officials proposed that a new state highway be constructed from Highway 99 in Redlands to Parker, Arizona, and eventually to connect with roads to Phoenix. There were three proposed routes over the San Bernardino Mountains through Forest Home and Bartlett Flats and connecting to then unpaved 29 Palms Highway. One proposal was to go through Big Morongo Canyon into Morongo Valley. A second alternative was to go through Big Bear, Pioneer Pass, and Rim Rock and on to Yucca Valley. The third option was more easterly through Pipes Canyon, skirting Gamma Gulch to Yucca Valley. The state proposal had enthusiastic support from local groups. In 1935, the state oiled the 29 Palms Road from Highway 99 near Whitewater for a distance of 12 miles, taking the road through dry Morongo Canyon to the small community of Morongo Valley. Still, by the end of the 1930s, prospects for a new highway connecting the Inland Empire with routes east to the Phoenix were off the table due to several factors, including very high engineering and construction costs and migration trends that favored the Central Valley. That'd be pretty interesting if the main highway was going through Big Bear, through the mountains. Seems like the highway that we have now is fairly manageable, especially with Palm Springs being so developed. That's interesting to know. I'm going to share events coming up in the Morongo Basin with you. All this information can be found on my website, laurenelleofthehighdesert.com. I try to keep the calendar up to date as much as possible with information relating to my blog, which is construction news, any kind of development news. That's what I try to keep up with. That's my primary interest here on the broadcast. But I also throw in various events that I feel are positive for the community that relate to the arts or community development. And so that's what you'll find on my calendar. If there's anything that you would like to share with me, then please do so. I look forward to hearing from you. You can email me at laurenlhighdesert@gmail.com. Hi is spelled H-I. So again, I'm getting this information off my website, and you can go there anytime to check it. On May 11th, there will be a Permaculture Action Day taking place at the Mojave Desert Land Trust in Joshua Tree. This is at their brand new location at 60124 29 Palms Highway. And here's a brief description. Transition Joshua Tree's permaculture team is one of the four sponsors for a Permaculture Action Day, so come on out. Informally known as the Perma Blitz, it is being held at the new Mojave Desert Land Trust headquarters. It is a work party with an educational aspect, but the emphasis is on work. Learn by doing. There will be some potluck in the courtyard, but it is mostly finger foods. And they go on to say, please bring your own non-disposable dishes. Don't count on the potluck being so extravagant. You never know. But please bring your own dishes. And this event will involve work, according to their words. And so you will be getting dirty. There will be use of different tools. And so it should be a lot of fun. I don't know who the other sponsors are, but it should be really great. If you'd like to know more about this event, then please message me and I'll try to get the contact information to you. Otherwise, you can just search directly Transition Joshua Tree and be able to find information there. Also on I have to make a really big correction here. I really apologize for this, but the Permaculture Action Day is taking place on May 14th, starting at 9 a.m. in the morning. Important to know. Okay, so on May 11th, which is a Monday, the Morongo Basin Municipal Advisory Committee meeting, or MAC meeting, will be taking place, and this will be starting at 6:30 p.m. and will be held at the Joshua Tree Community Center in Joshua Tree. I really encourage you to go because this is really where a lot of the information happening in the Morongo Valley comes together, and we hear from different representatives of the Morongo Basin, and there's always a really great presentation given by someone who is researching a topic relating to current activity happening in the Morongo Basin. So that's always a great meeting to attend. There will be a flint knapping demonstration by Tony Soares on May 13th at 5:30 p.m. at the High Desert Nature Museum in Yucca Valley. That should be a really great workshop for those of you who are interested in flint knapping. If you would like to read more about that, then again, please go to my website. There will be a Black Rock Lecture Series on May 15th, starting at 7 p.m. at Copper Mountain College. And this will be the last lecture of the Black Rock Lecture Series for this year, or actually for this past season. And the topic will be Putting It All Together, Achievable Action Items. There will be a field trip called Joshua Tree Architectural Tour, Harrison House, and Bonita Domes, held on May 16th, starting at 10:30 a.m. And if you would like more information about this, then please contact the Morongo Basin Historical Society. You can search them online, and they are easy to find. On May 17th, there will be a Death Cafe starting at 6 p.m. at the Yucca Mesa Community Center in Yucca Valley. This is being hosted by the Transition Joshua Tree Group. I went to their first one that they held at the Joshua Tree Retreat Center, and it was a really interesting event to go to. It was very laid back. They ask that you bring a coffee cup or coffee mug because there's tea. They also provide cake, and people come together just to discuss the topic of death, and they bring up anything from their personal experiences to the topic of preparing a body. It's really interesting to hear from people and to see what their thoughts are on the topic of death because we all are different. And so I really encourage this event because it is interesting to hear from the community on a touching topic like this. And also, it's an interesting event because it's known as a I forget exactly what the term is. It's a franchise, a social franchise, that's what it's called, because this event, Death Cafe, actually takes place across the world. It started in Europe, and the people who started it created this type of agenda that was easily shared with people. And so it started taking place all over the world, in Asia to North America and other parts of the world. And so this is something that's a worldwide event. So it's really interesting. Finally, on May 22nd, there will be a Yucca Mesa Improvement Association monthly potluck. And this is always a great event. There's always great food there and great discussions that happen. There will be a speaker here. Michael Shamhart will be speaking about desert beekeeping and bee plants. So that will be really interesting to attend. It is recommended that you give a $5 donation, and you can also become a member of the Yucca Mesa Improvement Association. That's all I have for events for now. There are more coming up, believe it or not. I'm not going to go over every single one of them right now, so just go to my website and you can see what's happening in the future because some of them do require that you buy tickets ahead of time before they sell out. So I encourage you to do so. Moving on with recent information. There has been some recent activity. I'll just brief over what I have found, primarily from skimming through Facebook, honestly, because I'm involved with various groups here in the Morongo Basin on Facebook, and so it's just the easiest way for me to keep up to date with what's happening in the area. But I did hear from Teresa Sitz of Wonder Valley. She posted on May 8, 2015, that the BLM plans to put off-road highway vehicle routes in residential neighborhoods next to private property. The BLM land next to your house could become an off-highway vehicle camping area or racing track. You have until June 4th to send your public comments to this email address, cawemopa@blm.gov. There is also an email or a mailing address that I will have on hand if you would like that. I have discussed this recently on my broadcast. I actually learned about this at the last MAC meeting. This is why I encourage you to go to MAC meetings, because you learn about these things. But Pat Flanagan did give a pretty extensive presentation about this proposal from the BLM about opening their land to off-road vehicles, which is really interesting because it opens up the opportunity for off-roaders to access private property as well as county property. And there's no understanding or reasoning why the BLM is proposing this project as of now. But as mentioned, you can send in your public comment to this email, and you can learn more about this project or this proposal, actually. If you would like to know more, then please go to my website or contact me through Facebook. A big congratulations goes to the Landers Association and the community of Landers for halting the S-Power solar project that was proposed in the area. I know that was a very important event for the area, with construction starting and a lot of residents didn't know what was happening. But I did receive this email from Marina West and Richard Luxinger, and here's what it said. It did come in on May 6, 2015. I'm very pleased to inform you that the Board of Supervisors voted in favor of our appeal against S-Power Mebit Family Trust. There is a little paperwork to do at the board meeting of June 2nd, but the intent of the supervisors' vote was clear. This was no small effort, and I want to thank each and every one of you for your support in sticking to the facts and not emotions. It's hard to believe, but this process started just about 1 year ago. That is a long time, so enjoy today. Again, this is coming from Marina West and Richard Luttringer. I also like this comment that was posted in a Facebook group called Sensible Solar in the High Desert. This is coming from Thomas Faustum on May 5th, 2015. He said, I'd recommend writing a nice letter or a nice thank you letter to Supervisor Ramos, Lovinggood, and especially Hagman. Hagman is the new 4th District Supervisor. He actually took a strong stand on this after taking the time to visit the site and see for himself the negative impact that this project would have and the poor siting. We have 2 desert supervisors and now a 3rd that actually seems to give a hoot about these types of projects. This is great news all around. I thought that was interesting because it is pretty apparent when hearing the supervisors speak that they are representing their territories, that Landers is a relatively unknown territory. There are a lot of assumptions here about the community that there really isn't going to be much impact from something like a solar project. But when the community comes together and they say something, it is interesting to see the supervisors react, and especially when they take concern for the community's concerns. So it is good. Again, the supervisors that voted against the project development was Ramos, Lovinggood, and Hagman. I also want to quickly comment that I did attend the supervisor broadcast at the government building in Joshua Tree, and there was a great turnout there. The room was packed with residents coming from all over the Morongo Basin, and so I did hear the appeal from beginning almost to the end, I had to leave, but it was interesting to hear the people who favored the project. And the people who spoke in favor of the project were in San Bernardino at the actual meeting. There was one resident from Landers. This is the only person I know of from Landers who spoke in favor of the solar project. And he was an older man. He spoke that he was in the military. He is a veteran. And he generally supports renewable energy development. So he had a general support for the project being developed in Landers. But for the most part, the people who spoke in favor of the project were the workers who were supposed to work on the project. And they're coming from different areas in San Bernardino. One person was from Apple Valley. And they all said, we want to see this project go through because we're hardworking people. We pay taxes. This is a part of our income. What are we going to do if this project doesn't go through? So that was interesting to hear their stance and to hear them speak. There was a number of them, probably three or four of them, that spoke, all from the same group. There was another person who spoke in favor who, I don't know exactly who she was, but she said that she's generally worked in the solar industry for the past 4 or 5 years. And I have no idea what her name was, but she claimed that the solar installation would be a good outreach program for the community in terms of giving money to the community, supporting local programs, as well as educating the students and educating the people in the area. It was a really random comment. I have no idea where she came from, but that was her stance. Other than that, there was predominantly opposition to the project. Marina West was present at the actual San Bernardino meeting, and she gave a really good presentation in terms of water usage impacting the project. But at the San Bernardino meeting, or the Joshua Tree meeting here, there was one person after the other, residents of the area, who spoke against the project. One woman even had a sign to hold up to show to the County Board of Supervisors. So that's what happened there. Again, there was a lot of community support in this project. Here's some information about Dollar General development in Joshua Tree. This was posted by Thomas Faustum on May 9th, 2015 in the No Dollar General Facebook group. He said, San Bernardino County Land Use Services has issued this notice that an environmental impact report is being prepared for the Joshua Tree Dollar General project. There is a 30-day comment period from the date of publication of the notice on May 8th. Check the document for details. This indicates that the developer and Dollar General are still intent on moving forward with the store and want to be ready in the case that they lose their appeal of the judge's ruling requiring an environmental impact report to address the potential urban decay impacts of the project. So this is interesting to read because on April 17, 2015, David Fick had reported that oral arguments will proceed after November 4, 2015. So we have the rest of the year for legal proceedings to continue, and then oral arguments will begin after November 4th this year. So there is quite a long time to go in terms of legal proceedings in this project, but as Thomas reported, an environmental impact report is being conducted. And so, again, this does show that Dollar General is pretty strong in continuing on with the project. And so if you would like more information about providing public comment, please contact me and I will find that information. The documents that Thomas posted are in the No Dollar General Facebook page, and I'll try to get those posted on my website if I can, if possible. But that's the latest on Dollar General. It's really great to keep up with that information. I will read you a quick article that I came across on High Desert Star about tax proposal in the town of Yucca Valley. This article was published on May 8, 2015, and the article is titled Town Council Looks for Details in Tax Proposal. And here's what the article says. The town council shared several questions and concerns about a proposed half-cent sales tax when members met Tuesday. The tax would soften the financial impact of a $145 million sewer project. The town in April received a notice of intent to circulate a petition for the sales tax increase to assist funding and lower related assessment fees for the first phase of a proposed sewer system. The petition proposes the tax continue for 30 years. Language in the tax proposal indicates it will help pay for sewer assessments. Councilman Robert Lombardo noted the ballots to form an assessment district to pay for sewer construction will be counted Wednesday, and the results of that vote would affect the tax initiative. Councilman Merle Abel said after the meeting he was concerned about how tax revenues would be dispersed. The petition says 5% of the tax money should be reserved for help low and moderate income families with sewer connection costs, but it does not provide details on how the money would be collected or administered beyond that. Abel added he was pleased a citizens initiative is moving forward to lower assessments on lower income households, but cautioned there are a lot of details to work out. Proponents of the tax initiative would need a two-thirds majority vote to impose the tax. The petition states the tax is expected to generate $80 million over 30 years. Project proponent Lori Herbel said that town council, the sewer, is the greatest financial challenge Yucca Valley has ever faced. Herbel said visitors to Joshua Tree National Park would contribute to the tax with lodging, fuel, and food sales. This is a fiscal crisis, Herbel said, and should be treated as such. The council unanimously directed staff to communicate their concerns to the project proponents and recommended they withdraw their petition. So I know that's a big project happening right now, is the sewer project in Yucca Valley. And I know that it's easy to say, oh, that's Yucca Valley, that's their thing, that's their issue. But I have gone to a few meetings hosted by water districts in the area and people who are knowledgeable of this project, and it is said that this can expand to other parts of the Morongo Basin, especially the more populated areas. We obviously know that Joshua Tree is very populated, and so just because this is in Yucca Valley doesn't mean it can't impact the rest of the valley as time goes on and we have more development happening in the area. So this is good to keep an eye on as well. I'm going to close up the broadcast by talking about an event that I attended recently in Joshua Tree, which is the Ignite Fire Flow Conference that took place at the Joshua Tree Retreat Center May 8th through May 10th. I have actually been looking forward to this event for a long time. I know that music and art is a very important part of Joshua Tree and the Morongo Basin as a whole, and so this particular event is very exciting to me because it is attracting people from all over the world who are performance artists, who are involved with circus-related performance art. I like to say that lightly, the word circus. I personally don't really view it as circus. I view it as more cutting-edge and sensual performance art. But there is also the aspect of it of circus art as well, circus performance. And so this event took place over 3 days, and it was primarily based around workshops for all kinds of performance art, such as poi, juggling, wand performance, aerial silk performance, which involves a lot of acrobatic and gymnastic type of activity. There was yoga and staff. These are all terms that some of you may not be familiar with, but this is a whole culture. It's just amazing when you start to get into this type of crowd that there is a whole culture all over the world of people who do this performance, and they use these different tools and equipment to perform and entertain people. So that's what this event was an event that hosted workshops for people to learn how to use these tools and how to perform. And some of them were even advanced, so it was a way for people to actually brush up on their skills. But the main highlight of this event was to do fire performance, hence the name Ignite. A lot of the tools that are used in this performance are able to be lit up on fire for extended periods of time. And so at night, at the retreat center, there is a big open space with no plants or anything like that, and the performers would light their tools on fire and do these performances for everyone to watch, and it was really beautiful, very wonderful event. There's a lot of energy there, a very positive feeling. And it wasn't just simply about performing. This event was about community as well. So people come together to perform, but it's also about being a part of a community, being very welcoming, being very kind to one another, being very respectful, not stepping on other people in terms of saying you're better than them in performing, but welcoming them and encouraging people to perform. And that's what it's all about. I think this is such a crucial part of performance, is to encourage people to perform. And so that's what went on here at Ignite. And personally, I'm a performer to a certain extent. I've put a lot of effort and time into learning something called Luna Sticks. Some people know it as Devil Sticks or Flower Sticks. And so this is a form of performance as well. And again, everyone had their own type of performance to do. But I was surprised how well this event was put together, how organized it was, and there were no problems while I was there. People set up their tents at the retreat center, had their own camping location set up, and everything just went so smoothly. I would say that this particular weekend was particularly cold, and I told a number of people this. I said, you have no idea how lucky you are that the weather is as cool as it is right now, because if it was normal weather right now, it would be so hot that all of you would probably be panting and drinking water. And it was. If you recall, on May 8th, it was raining. It was windy and very cold. So they definitely lucked out, and they didn't know it. A lot of the attendees didn't know it because they're not accustomed to this area. I was surprised, actually, that a lot of them didn't know about Joshua Tree very much. Most of them were coming from Los Angeles and San Diego. They even had performers fly in from Europe, from Asia. I was really amazed where the performers and the teachers came from. But for the most part, a lot of the people that I spoke to weren't familiar with this area. So they were kind of taking the cool weather for granted. And I had to tell them, you know, you're very fortunate that it's not very hot right now, because you would probably be very uncomfortable. So that was kind of hilarious to know. But other than that, this was a really great event. I encourage those of you who are interested in performance art, even if you're not interested in performance art, maybe you just like the Burning Man atmosphere. Maybe you like that kind of crowd. This would be a really great event to go to. Really great people. And it's just so much fun. A lot of energy and a lot of work was put into it. So I really want to thank the event organizers for putting on such a great event here in the Joshua Tree area. That's all I have for now. If there's any other updates that you would like me to share, then please let me know. Again, I highlight development news in the area, from solar projects to commercial development, any kind of community development, whatever happenings are going on there. I welcome you to let me know. And I appreciate it. You can always email me at laurenlhighdesert@gmail.com. You can also visit my website, laurenlofthehighdesert.com. And I hope all of you have a great week. Take care and tune into my broadcast next time. Thanks a lot.